Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop here in the studio. You've got to love that this time of year, so much drama right across the board. Later on in the show, Ali and Jules will be here to reflect on Luis Suarez being very much the star of the show for Atleti as they very much take a grip on La Liga title. We'll start, though. Oh, we'll start in the Premier League, which you wouldn't necessarily think we would start with because of all everything else that's going on, title race in France, title race in Spain. But we've got to take you through this moment because it is just so extraordinary when you think you've seen everything, Shaq.
Yeah.
It's 1-1. Liverpool have to win this game to keep their hopes of qualifying for the Champions League alive. Alisson comes up for the corner and then does this.
It's an incredible header, and you simply cannot tire of seeing it. And the more you see it, the better it seems to get. The ball is behind him, so he has to adjust. He's under some pressure. Pressure comes later, albeit. But somehow he has to twist his body around, get his head on it, and directs that perfectly into the far corner. That's a great header, regardless of who it comes off of.
It's the last moment of the game, and it's a moment which put Liverpool now just 1 point adrift of Chelsea going in to the last two rounds of matches of the season and to keep them very much still in the hunt for a Champions League place. Let's welcome in, shall we, Gab Marcotti, and more importantly on this moment, Steve Nicol. How did you react, Stevie?
I started laughing. I just started laughing. I was sat in my chair and I had resigned myself to the fact that this was one each. It had been pretty poor anyway, and I'm thinking, you know what? I was thinking about Klopp saying, you know what, if we don't make it, it'll be because we don't deserve it. And I was sitting thinking all of these sentiments. And then the goalie does that. I mean, I honestly couldn't stop laughing. That was the only thing I could do. Just laugh. Just amazing.
That's what you were doing, Shaka, as well. Because you're on like a 10-second delay to me.
Yeah.
We were watching it in separate rooms. And you started laughing. I'm like, what's he laughing at?
It was incredible. It simply was. And to Stevie's point, is he laughing or expecting? Listen, we've watched this game for a long time. And you're just where you think you've seen it all. You see Alisson do that. And listen, we've seen goalkeepers score. We've seen these crazy situations. But you don't see goals of that quality. And that significance late on in a league campaign and everything that goes with it. It's a sense of disbelief that you're overcome with. And as a result, all you find yourself doing is laughing.
That's what Klopp made the point afterwards, Stevie, that when you've seen goalkeepers score in the past, it's just the ball's bouncing around and they eventually just kind of right place, right time and put it home. This is the first ever header that's been scored by a goalkeeper in the Premier League. It's the first ever goal that has been scored by a goalkeeper in the history of Liverpool Football Club.
I mean, is it a surprise? You know, Alisson was asked after the game by somebody when he was getting interviewed if he actually practiced heading. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's just complete and utter natural instinct. Probably things he did when he was a kid. And every now and again, he threw in that he had to clear the ball with his head. But generally, it's coming straight at him. Not an absolutely calculated flick into the side netting where there was nobody on the post. I mean, you talk about knowing what you're doing and then executing. But, I mean, again, you think you've seen it all and then you see something like that.
And it's almost extra special, Gab, because it's Alisson. He was so emotional after the game. Obviously, his father died in February when he tragically drowned. And he was talking about the support that he had from other clubs, Everton, Manchester City, writing him letters and best wishes. And that all that emotion just came out in the most perfect way.
No question. And look, I mean, even beyond that, he was also injured for a stretch this season. He also happens to be one of the more likable guys in the game and somebody who's very humble too. And, you know, to score the equivalent of a buzzer beater, literally a three-pointer in this case. Sorry if I make some metaphors here. And one that, as Stevie said, you know, keeps Liverpool's hopes very much alive. It's not 100% in their hands because, you know, Leicester could lose to Chelsea and Liverpool could win out and then Leicester win the final game by a bigger margin and somehow turn it around. But it is, you know, 98% in their hands at this stage. And that is really a tremendous turnaround and very important for this club as well, given, you know, some of the financial losses that they've suffered as well.
Let's go into that in a little bit more detail then, shall we? Taking a look at how things stand. According to the bookies, Liverpool are the favourites to qualify for the Champions League. It's then between Chelsea and Leicester, of course, face off on Tuesday. As Gab rightly said, because it's goal difference in England that separate the sides, you could see a possibility where, for example, Leicester go into the final season, a game of the season against Spurs, beat them 7-0, and Liverpool can only beat Crystal Palace 2-0, and therefore, on goal difference, it would be Leicester who will qualify. But overall, in general, without those kind of anomalies, you would say Liverpool do have it in their own hands. Stevie, before Alisson scored, I texted you saying you were right, because you said there's no way Liverpool are going to win these remaining three matches. Has what happened now?
Four?
Yeah, well, indeed. Where do you stand mentally now?
I still think they're up against it. Listen, I always believe that at this time of the year, it's the points that matter most. Not the so-called, oh, he's got an easier game than him, or things like that. It's all about the points, in my opinion, on the table. And again, you know, Liverpool still got another two games they have to win. It's something, you know, they'll end up winning four games in a trot. It's something they haven't done since last season. So, you know, we think, and we're kind of, because of this one-header from Alisson, are we going to forget the fact that Liverpool, regardless of winning the last two games, couldn't hit a barn door from 3 yards? And actually, defensively, they were lucky that they only lost one goal against West Brom. So, listen, I'm still think Liverpool are still outside favourites with the three of them.
Wow.
Because the other two have got points on the board. And that's what I believe, honestly.
Gab, why are you pulling a funny face?
No, I don't know if Stevie's trying to kind of be negative on purpose, hoping that he'll be proven wrong.
Not at all, Gab.
I think he's onto something. No, I think you're right, because, look, Burnley, you don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, we've seen them before. They put eight guys in the six-yard box, and it can turn into a very, very long afternoon if they so choose. And Palace, you know, you have all those individuals who could just decide to turn it on. You know, they could just as easily be on the beach and Liverpool beat them 9-0, as I think they might have done once before. Or all of a sudden, you know, it's the ghost of Roy Hodgson coming back to haunt Liverpool, and bad things happen, like they happened the last time he was around the club. So there are so many twists and turns there. And worst thing Liverpool could do would think, oh, yeah, you know, now it's in control. I think there's no chance that club is going to allow that to happen.
Jack, what were you looking at in your phone? What research were you doing then?
What?
I thought you were looking at some point that you were going to make.
No, nothing in particular, but just kind of reminding myself of what's to come. And the truth is, you understand why the bookies have Liverpool as favourites to go up, given their remaining games. And more to that point, given who Leicester have, right, playing Chelsea, and then Spurs, who are still competing for a Europa League spot themselves. But despite the euphoria around the win and the Alisson header, this is a Liverpool team that, despite the amount of possession they had, kind of struggled against West Brom, mm-hmm, and weren't that convincing. And though on paper you look at those games, you see Burnley, you see Crystal Palace, and you think, surely Liverpool are going to win both of those. Neither of them are to be taken for granted, especially Burnley and how physical they are and how poor Phillips and Williams looked at the back against West Brom. Those are the things that kind of have me understanding why Steve is as kind of negative as he is, because nothing about Liverpool's football says top four. The reason we feel that, or the bookies feel that, is because of the fixtures, not the football.
It's interesting that Gab started by saying, you don't know what you're going to get with Burnley. But that's exactly what Liverpool are. Mm. And so that's why I don't understand how Liverpool can now be put as favourites, because you don't know what you're getting when they step on the field. Like 14 or 15, maybe even 16 other teams in this league. It's a tossy a coin, honestly.
Now, yeah, Dan, the reason Liverpool are favourites is from a bookie's perspective, let's be clear on this, is purely mathematical, because Chelsea and Leicester play each other, which means they can't both get 3 points. It's not that all of a sudden the bookies are convinced that Liverpool are the third best team in the Premier League.
If you want to know if Shaq has ever scored a headed goal or if it's ever been close, there's so many extra time questions about your career, Shaka.
All right.
And whether you've ever done an Alisson, you can check that out on Extra Time, which as always is available over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Right then. La Liga, 2 games to go. Atletico Madrid win those 2 matches. They will be champions. They're taking on Osasuna. All the games are played at the same time. Real Madrid 1-0 up against Athletic Bilbao. That's how that game would finish. And here, Osasuna score in the 75th minute. 15 minutes to go.
Great ball in by Ruben Garcia. Better meet with the header.
We have a hydration break, and it's almost like a timeout, a motivational speech from Diego Simeone. And it works. João Felix plays it into Lloris, and this is a brilliant goal.
It's a brilliant goal. It's a brilliant ball by João Felix to pick him out. Just a little bit of backspin so it checks. Still some work for Lloris to do. Tight angle, but just thumps this over the head of the keeper. Great finish.
Luis Suarez had so many chances in this game, you just thought maybe it isn't his day. But then, in the 88th minute, it's a goal that could win La Liga.
Luis Suarez, unruffled despite those earlier misses. No player more experienced in these big moments. And Luis Suarez just takes this opportunity with real cool, almost defying the moment.
Simeone encapsulating the emotions of the fans who are outside the Wanda for this game. Atleti then winning by 2-1. Scenes that most Atleti fans maybe wouldn't expect, considering the way this title run-in has gone. You always felt that somehow Real Madrid might just catch them. Well, they are 1 game away from being crowned champions. Remember, in Spain, it's head-to-head. So, if Atleti draw and Real Madrid win against Villarreal on the final day of the season, it will be Real Madrid who are champions. Atleti taking on Valladolid, who are fighting relegation. Luis Suarez, so what a signing this has been for Atleti, of course, rejected by Barcelona. Barcelona paid him to leave the club. And he has scored 20 goals in 31 matches and has been a key part of Atleti's success this season. Let's welcome in, shall we, Julian Aron and Ali Moreno to the show. Ali, what is so cool about this time of year is all those games being played at the same time, and they would have known, wouldn't they, that Real Madrid were winning, and then, of course, Osasuna score as well. But that is some character from this side, led by Luis Suarez, to get it done.
They knew exactly what was going on in both stadiums. In fact, there is a cutout shot to Marcelo on the bench of Real Madrid, and he is signaling the scores to the guys out on the field level. And it was 1-0, and then 1-1. And you can feel the drama. They are sensing it themselves. As for Atletico Madrid, today in particular, I have never, ever, and I watch this team play regularly, I have never that I can remember seeing this team create as many opportunities as they did today against Osasuna. This game could have and should have been 5-0 easily at halftime. And Luis Suarez himself should have scored 4 goals by himself in the first half. And it didn't happen. Atletico Madrid had 70% possession at halftime. When have we heard that from Atletico Madrid? So it's not like they were nervous. It's not like anxiety somehow was not letting them play. Yeah, they were getting their chances. Yeah, they were creating opportunities. And they were falling to the guy that you want in those opportunities, in those places, and it was Luis Suarez. And the point about Luis Suarez is this. Yes, he missed all those chances. And a lesser player, a player with less confidence, a player with less experience, would go and hide. Luis Suarez, on the other hand, just stands there and says, give me another chance. All I want is another chance. And he had that chance as the ball gets played by Yanni Carrasco, scores that goal. And you see the emotion. You see the intensity and the energy with which Atletico Madrid lives every goal and lives every game and lives every result. And it comes from Simeone and it translates down to the players. And there's a show, and you just mentioned, there is a show of character there from Atletico Madrid that you haven't seen from Barcelona, not over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And there's a difference there. This means something to Atletico Madrid. They show that today. And when he felt like he was getting away from them, nah, they said, no, not right now. This is our title. This is our moment. Luis Suarez is our guy. We're going to win it.
You got to love Real Madrid fans. Some that I follow on Twitter, Jules, were complaining about the illegal timeout that Atleti had, in which Simeone had the opportunity to give that speech and clearly motivate his side for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, replay the game. That was not allowed. Replay the game. Replay that Osasuna game, or at least the last 10 minutes of it. And I think Diego Simeone deserves a lot of credit, not just for like what he did with his players and what he said to them clearly at that time, but also for the substitutions. He brought on Joao Felix and Renan Lodi at a time where it was still 0-0, but they were clutch and they together combined for the equalizer. And then Carrasco, who's been so good in the last few weeks for Atletico Madrid, 4 goals and 5 assists in the 8 La Liga games for Carrasco, who set it up on the plate really for Luis Suarez, who could not miss that one. And yesterday on Saturday, Diego Simeone said in his press conference, isn't it, this is Suarez's time. This is when he will make the difference for us. And he came big, even if he missed all those chances. This is when you want to rely on him to score that goal that can potentially win you the title.
Let's just remind you how things stand at the bottom of the table. The reason why this is very relevant going into the final day of the season is that Real Valladolid play host to Atletico Madrid. So they are fighting for their lives. So they're not going to roll over, obviously. So it's Real Valladolid against Atleti. Real Madrid, meanwhile, at home against Villarreal. A Villarreal side, by the way, the Wednesday after that tie, take on Manchester United in the Europa League final. So we know what we can expect regarding the starting 11 for that side. But it's all down to Atleti. It's all down to Atleti now, Ali.
It is. Yes. I don't have to speculate anymore, Dan. No more speculation.
No.
It is indeed Atletico Madrid, and it is against Valladolid. And regardless of what the situation is for Valladolid, you expect Atletico Madrid to come through. Now, as we also come to expect from Atletico Madrid, it's not going to be easy. It should have been easy today. It was not. And Valladolid is not going to be easy because of the nature of who Atletico Madrid is. But there have been too many things that seem to have gone the way of Atletico Madrid over the last month to now turn back around and say, no, it's not their title to win. It is indeed their title to win. And I suppose that on the balance of the season, it is the team that deserves it the most. The fact that they've been leading this league from the first minute and they've been able to hang on and hang on and hang on. And when things were collapsing, somehow they survived and everybody else around them fell off. And then Atletico Madrid, when it mattered, and that's what you have to say about them, when it mattered over the last month, the other teams have come and gone, have taken a step forward and a step backwards. They keep going forward and they keep believing in the things that they're doing. I don't like the way that they play at times. I don't like how conservative they tend to be. I don't like how sometimes Simeone pulls his team back. But in the end, they have done just enough. Just like they did today against Osasuna, they will do against Valladolid. Just enough, and they will raise the trophy.
Barcelona, meanwhile, lost today at home against Celta Vigo, which takes me to my big question of the day. Will you take a look at their season? Obviously started well, ended terribly, all right in the middle. Let me ask you this, Mr. Julien Laurent. If Luis Suarez was still a Barcelona player, would they be top of the table?
I knew that was coming. I mean, no one can answer that question. Of course, you could say yes. And Hadi, as we said on Friday night or last night, those 20 goals that Luis Suarez scored so far in La Liga are the goals that are missing for Barcelona to be top of the table. There are no one who could be able to score this amount of goals alongside Leo Messi. Not Griezmann, not Dembele, not Braithwaite. They tried different formation, different systems, different ideas. But those goals are clearly missing right now. It's not Luis Suarez's fault. It might not be the club's fault. You can let him go, but you have to replace him with someone who will have the similar impact. And they didn't do that in the summer. Maybe they thought Griezmann could be the man to do that with some help of others. It didn't happen. And clearly those goals are missing right now. And that's also why they're third and not first like Luis Suarez and Atletico Madrid.
Jules, whose choice was it? Koeman on the board?
I think it was both. I don't think Ronald Koeman fancied Luis Suarez from the beginning anyway, because I believe that if you Ronald Koeman and you arrive at Barcelona with the status that was yours at the time, you were and you are still a club legend as a player, you can come in and say, listen, I know there's financial problems, I know Luis Suarez is getting old and he was injured and this and that, but he has to stay because he's a key part of what I want to put in place. That's not what Ronald Koeman one said and two wanted. And then the board said, hey, great, you don't want him, that's good, he's good for us. Let's get rid of him because we need to find some money somewhere. So I think he suited them both, and it was a big mistake from both Koeman and the board, Bartomeu and everybody else, because as we saw, even if Luis Suarez was on the way down, and clearly he is, he's not the player that he used to be 3-4 years ago, he could still have played a big part in the season for Barcelona.
Ali, quickly on this, what do you think?
Well, I think not only you look at the goals and it's important. Of course, there is a big gap there. But more importantly, in my mind, when I look at Barcelona over the last month, what they lack is soul, energy, intensity. And you know, at the very least, you may not be getting the goals for Luis Suarez that you expect from him, but at the very least, you're going to have a guy out there that cares, that shows that he cares consistently, that he's going to be giving you his very best every time he's on the field. You cannot say that about every player that was on the field today for Barcelona. You cannot say that for every player that was on the field for Barcelona over the last month. Some, yes. Some, no. But this team, overall, lacks soul, lacks energy, lacks intensity, lacks care. You see it from Atletico Madrid, you have not seen it from Barcelona.
Gap is crawling through his camera. What's going on, Gap?
No, look, it's a great narrative, but the reality is, as Jules said, they had to move him on because they simply couldn't afford to keep him. And I think the single biggest discriminant, in addition to the fact that Koeman is not as good a manager as El Cholo Simeone or indeed as Zinedine Zidane, single biggest discriminant is Ansu Fati missing basically the whole season, as well as the other injuries they had. You give me Ansu Fati fit and growing all season long, I don't need Luis Suarez, frankly. And I think Barcelona probably could have won the title or could have been competing for the title. The margins were that close. You take him out of the mix, and then you get what we have here. And Luis Suarez ain't going to change that.
Ali, what's back? Ruin the narrative.
Well, here's the thing. Ansu Fati is not the difference between Barcelona not being able to beat Granada at home or not being able to hang on against Levante when they're winning 2-0. He's not the difference there. Barcelona, even without Ansu Fati, came to the last 3 weeks of the season with a real opportunity in their hands to win this title, and yet they took a step back. So while I appreciate the fact that they're a better team with Ansu Fati on the field, that's not why they lost the title. There's more to this than just saying the injury from Ansu Fati. This team, in the end, came short, and came short on character, came short on personality, came short on leadership, and that showed in those games where it really mattered.
We'll discuss this more, I'm sure, throughout the week. What I want to just get a word on, Jules, is we saw how everything has gone wrong over the last month for Barcelona, and there is still, obviously, the elephant in the room that is Lionel Messi and his future and whether or not he will stay. How much does the way that everything has capitulated going to influence that decision?
It could, Dan, and we saw him going to the tunnel in the dressing room tonight after the defeat, and the look on his face, he was just like, he was deflated, really. And we've said at times that, yes, the young players, he might want to stay for them and to guide them and all of that. And also there's players that he wants to still play with, Busquets and Jordi Alba and Gerard Piqué or whatever. But there might be a sense as well for him that the rebuild is so big with a new manager as well, because there's no way Koeman is staying, that he might think that he would better be off somewhere else. I still think he will stay, and this is his home and his club. But the look on his face tonight was not good news for Barcelona at all. And he should not be, because this is not a good team right now, and this is not a good place to be for him.
Gab, where will Lionel Messi be at the start of next season?
I'm with Jules. I think he's going to stay at Barcelona. I think it would be madness if he didn't. I think Laporta is going to go to him and say, what do you want? You're going to have to take a pay cut, but, you know, help me choose the next manager. You can have a hand in that if you want to have it. You know, if he leaves, unless he takes a huge pay cut or perhaps, you know, wants to risk playing a different role, I just don't see him walking into a ready-made team. We talked about City, but if you're a City, would you add Messi and take a chance to do, I mean, not disrupt because he's another great player, but you would have to change the way you play to accommodate him. If you're City, you don't need that right now. You know, would you go to Paris Saint-Germain? It's a nice story, Neymar and Mbappe, but you know they can't afford you unless you decide to play for peanuts, or they sell Mbappe, and if they sell Mbappe, you're back to square one. So to me, everything points to Messi staying. He scored 30 goals this year, which is just outrageous. The ninth time in his career he's done it. And being really the first step in the rebuild and being a part of that, not uprooting his family, you know, making a big gesture towards the club. I think that's what he's going to end up doing in the end, unless it's a complete lifestyle choice and, you know, either he retires or something like that. But I don't think he's ready to retire, nor should he be.
It is going to be a jam-packed Gab and Jules podcast, isn't it, which drops on Monday. As always, you can go over there. I don't know what they're doing. You can go over there and download it over on the website. Milan blew the chance to guarantee Champions League football next season. They could only manage a 0-0 draw against Cagliari, a really flat performance from the hosts. But this is how things stand as we go into the final round of games. Inter, of course, are champions. Atalanta, with that win yesterday against Genoa, have guaranteed a place in the top four. It's all about now Milan, Napoli and Juventus. Two places remaining, three of them fighting for it. If Milan and Napoli win, then there's nothing that Juventus can do about it. Well, let's take a look at who they've got. For Milan, they're taking on Atalanta. Just days after Atalanta play Juventus in the Coppa Italia final. Atalanta, of course, nothing to play for. Neither are Verona, who are taking on Napoli. Those two win, it doesn't matter what Juventus do against Bologna. So in theory, it should be Milan and Napoli, but we know not to count our chickens. Especially after what we saw today from Milan, Gab. You expected them to go and romp home, but they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know if it was stage fright, if it was just bad luck. I mean, they certainly, they took 20 shots on goal. I don't think they expected Cagliari to play with such freedom. We've talked before about how Cagliari are one of those teams that actually have a lot of good players and who, you know, basically underachieved this season. And maybe they wanted to, you know, act as spoilers and kind of set that right in the final match. Look, Milan came close, but they never quite seemed as confident as you need to be. And I thought maybe, especially in the first half, they were just a little bit too patient, too much pinging the ball around when, you know, I think they could have pushed a little bit more.
So how's it all going to play out, Gab?
Look, I think a lot's going to depend on what happens on Wednesday. You know, Atalanta against Juventus in the Coppa Italia final, it's hard to see it not having an impact on the final day of the season. As far as Juve are concerned, he's going to have some big calls to make, I think, in terms of who he starts, how the game pans out. And as well, for Atalanta, too, if they win that game, you know, would they go and play the reserves against Milan? I mean, you know, they've got nothing left to prove. Gun to my head, I still got to go with Milan and Napoli at this stage. What I would flag up is Verona can be a tough opponent. They're another one of those teams that, you know, don't really care who they play. They generally go full tilt. But yeah, surely Milan and Napoli cannot screw this up right now. And Juventus better hope that one of those two slips.
Gav Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. As Gav mentioned, it's the Coppa Italia final on Wednesday. Atalanta take on Juventus. That game live on ESPN2. Coverage starting at 2:50 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Nerves got to Lille on Sunday as they can manage a 0-0 draw against Saint-Étienne. No such circumstance for PSG, who comfortably won their game, meaning that it's still very much all to play for going into the final round of matches in France. A win for Lille and their champions. However, if they fail to get a victory, PSG beat Brest and it will be them who will be defending their championship. Welcome back, Julien Laurent. Jules, Lille.
Lille, I mean, I think they got nervous. They're really nervous. They didn't start the game well. Actually, Saint-Étienne could have scored easily a goal in the first 20 minutes. Same in the start of the second half as well. Almost if that tension was getting to those Lille players, a lot of them still young players, inexperienced. This is all new for them, a title race. When they get so close of winning the title for the first time in 10 years for the club, only the fifth time in history at Lille that they could win this league and title. So it was huge, and maybe I think the occasion got to them. It's still in their own hands because a win against Angers away from home next weekend and they will be crowned champions. But it's away from home and a draw might not be enough if PSG in the meantime win against Brest. So suddenly the pressure will build up between now and next Sunday as well for Lille. I still think they're favourite, but PSG gave themselves a chance by winning today with Lille dropping 2 points.
Yeah, this is it. You think if Lille are nervous today, Jules, how are they going to be on the final day of the season?
That's right, Dan. I think they will be really nervous. We saw Christophe Galtier in the stands being quite calm and composed and taking notes on his notepad. But inside, I'm sure he was boiling, really. And on the pitch, the leadership that you would expect to see from Burak Yilmaz, for example, up front, or even in midfield from Benjamin André or the player Jonathan Bamba, was not there. They didn't create enough, didn't create much. Hardly had a chance, apart from maybe towards the end of the game, the last 10 minutes. It was not enough from Lille in a game that almost would have given you the title if you won it. So it was a bit disappointing. And you're right, I think between now and Sunday, a week would be very, very long because every day we're going to talk about that final game, final 90 minutes. What are you going to do? You can't repeat the same performance that you had tonight. And that's going to build up and build up. And PSG, on the other hand, they would be quite cool and relaxed. They've been there before. And again, it's more Lille to lose than PSG to win, really.
Jules, would I be right in saying that it's only you and your PSG friends who want PSG to win the league? Is the rest of France rooting for Lille?
Oh, yeah. Everyone. From South Marseille to North Lille to West Rennes to East Strasbourg, everyone. And it would be good for the league. Of course, it would be. It's never good when you've got one team so dominant, like we see with Bayern or like we used to see with Juventus. So it's good for Lille. They would deserve it as well because they've been very good from start to finish, better than PSG, who've lost 8 games already this season. So Lille will be worthy winners and the rest of the country want them to win, but PSG are still very much in it.
Meanwhile, it was the Women's Champions League final today, and what an impressive victory by Barcelona. They snapped, of course, that winning run from Lyon. They absolutely tore Chelsea apart in the first half, scoring 4 goals to no reply. And that's exactly how it finished. Barcelona then with the title 4-0. This was impressive from the Spaniards today, Jules.
It was incredible. And it helps when you scored in the first minute of a final like this to settle the nerves, for example. But that first half was exceptional in terms of being consistent and clinical in what you do, very efficient, very solid, the way they move the ball as well. Of course, it's a very good team. I mean, they have won every single game in La Liga this season. 26 games, 26 wins. They've scored 128 goals in those games. Only Man City have beaten them once in the Champions League this season, and it was in the second leg when they won the first leg 3-0. So they've basically been by far the best team in Europe, by far the best team in Spain. They were fantastic. And what a season for Luis Cortes, who joined that team as a video analyst. Wow. That's how he started, and now he's the manager who, for the first time, gave this Champions League title to this club in the women's section. This is fantastic, and they deserve it. What a team, what a bunch of players, from, you know, Putillas to Jenny to Lique Martins to Graham Hansen, all of them. They were fantastic all season long.
Jules, thank you very much. Join us a little later for extra time. But for now, let's take you through some celebrations. Besiktas won the title in Turkey by one goal on goal difference, beating Galatasaray. I think their fans very much enjoyed that.
I'm sure they would.
These are some of the celebrations that we saw in Turkey throughout the night, which I imagine went through very much to the early hours as well. Not just in Turkey celebrations, but also Rangers undefeated for the whole season in invincible campaign for Steven Gerrard's side, stopping Celtic, making it 10 in a row. I've had Don Hutchinson tweeting me, texting me, WhatsApping me about what all this means. He's the only one, I swear, who cares about your power rankings, Shag.
You'd be very surprised, Dan.
What?
A lot of people care about my power
rankings. Not as much as Don does. I don't know why he's banging on about Rangers being in there.
I don't care about them as much as Don.
If you want to see the latest edition of his power rankings, you can check it out over, as always, on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The top four then set in Germany with one match still remaining. Remember, Eintracht Frankfurt somehow lost on Saturday against Schalke. And boy, did Borussia Dortmund and Wolfsburg both make the most of that. They got the job done, so they will be through to the Champions League next season. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show on a very busy day right across the board. As always, I will be talking more on Extra Time. A lot of questions, Shaka, about you and your goalkeeping if you ever scored. Be sure to stay tuned. Welcome into Extra Time. As you can imagine, there is one subject that's dominated most questions today that we've received, and it's all about Alisson's last-minute winner for Liverpool, the extraordinary header from the Brazilian. A lot of questions to you, Shaka. Jules is with us, and Stevie, a lot of people as well, asking what your reaction was as the goal went in.
I just started laughing. I mean, I was already resigned to the fact that it was a draw. I was slouched on the couch. And then I just started laughing. I had to double-check that it was in the back of the net, and then I had to double-check that it was the keeper. All the while, I was just laughing. And that was basically it.
Jackie, you were laughing as well. You're always laughing.
Unbelievable.
After we heard Alisson speaking of how he practiced headers in training on an occasion, Shaka, did you ever do this to prepare for occasions when you ventured up for a set piece?
No, because when I ventured up, the opposition would always put their best defenders on me.
Right, OK.
That's, you know, so I had to draw them
So up. If you want to see Shaka going up for a corner, it is what? West Ham against...
Spurs.
West Ham against Spurs, White Hart Lane.
That would have been 2006.
There you are. So have a look on YouTube for that. Just talk us through it, Shaq. Similar to Alisson.
Similar to Alisson's. Corner coming in.
Yes. Corner coming straight to you.
We were 1-0 down. But as I've mentioned, Spurs had three of their best defenders on me.
Yes, right.
So what I did was I drew them out with my clever run.
That's what you were.
Yeah. He ran away from the ball stadium. If you see it,
I drew the defenders away with my cleverly arched run.
Right.
That allowed Ajit Ferdinand to score tap-in.
You ran out the way of the ball.
No, I've seen it. I was drawing the defenders away. Listen, if Don could score from the half line.
This is Don's halfway line story.
If Don could score from the half line, I could draw three defenders away.
Did you have your eyes shut the whole time as well?
No, Stephen, no. I was drawing defenders away very cleverly.
Jules, what was your reaction?
So me and my kids were getting really excited that Alisson was coming on. And then as he's walked in the box, we're saying like, hey, no one is marking him. And it's true, if you look at the West Brom defenders, they can see that Alisson is walking in, but there's no marking on him, nothing. He's just there on his own. And then, of course, the ball comes in. And then we went mad because it's always cool when the goalkeeper scores, especially when it's such an important goal potentially as well in the season for Liverpool. So it was incredible. I mean, remember Paul Robinson scored a goal where he just kicked the ball. It was not a goal kick, but it was some sort of free kick.
Yeah.
And with the win, he went all the way. This is cool, but not as cool. I mean, this one, a header for a goalkeeper is so
I know, it's
so
the technique nice. As well, really? Isn't it? It's awesome.
I think Brad Friedel scored like a scissors once, but I mean, not that far out. But it was... That's the best goal.
Do you remember the guy who was on loan at Carlisle?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember the guy who was on loan at Carlisle?
He was the CFAX guy, wasn't he? They signed him via CFAX.
It was for them to stay up or something like that.
And they had to win to stay up.
Yeah.
And he came up in the last minute of the game and scored.
Yes.
and didn't get a new contract.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Goalkeepers, there you are. Lemonade.
Terrible the way we are treated.
Stevie, would you have wasted a defender and marking him?
No, it's a goalie. You just go like that. Hey, don't worry, it's a goalie. even if he gets it, it'll go over the stand. Don't worry about
Hey, Stephen, there's a new picture in your background. I noticed. Black and white picture over your right. Who is that?
That's Eleanor.
Oh, why is Eleanor put a picture of herself in the background?
She said, see if Dan will spot it.
Oh, there you go.
I thought she was at nursing college. I believe she was 18 at the time.
Wow. Stevie, how long have you been together?
Oh, my goodness.
He won't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's come back to me and I'll look at
it. How old were you when you got together?
19.
Wow.
There you go. Oh, man. 40 year.
Goodness, poor Eleanor. Dear me, think of the amount of mince that she's cooked for that man. about the shepherd's pie.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Stevie, I didn't get a chance to talk to you yesterday about the FA Cup final. Do you think Tuchel was looking to save his best 11 for the upcoming matches, as getting a Champions League spot is more lucrative for the club and outweighs the gravitas of the FA Cup?
Well, I remember saying the day before it that, you know what, you've got 3-4 games to play, you play your best team, and if something happens, somebody gets injured or somebody's just completely fatigued, then you make a change. But you get your best team out this time of the year. And I think he tried to do what I guess a lot of managers would do and try and rotate without hurting too much. And probably had an eye on the Champions League final. And so I think it caught up with him. You should play your best team. And then if things happen, then you go from there. So in some ways, you could say he was being a little bit too clever.
Stevie, Mo has been consistent despite what the team has been going through this season. Should he be in the Premier League Team of the Year? Wow. Jules, I'll go to you because Stevie won't remember who else should be in it.
Did you say Mo Salah?
Yes.
I missed.
Yeah, it was Mo. Sure. This person knows him well.
I don't think Mo Salah should be in the team of the season, despite the 22 goals that he scored, and that's great. There's a few penalties, though.
Oh.
But I just don't think...
Hold on a second.
In terms of the strike... Okay, let's put... Let's put three forwards. So Harry Kane, just by the shit, the same amount of goals, but 13 assists. I think Heung-Min Son as well, who has 17 goals and 12 assists or 13 assists as well, deserve to be there in terms of minutes played and goal involvement. I think Son is ahead of Salah this season. And then, I don't know if you want to go with the third forwards, but I would not put Salah in there.
You agree, Stevie?
You know, when you were a kid, it was about scoring goals, right? So the top scorer in the Premier League, possibly, is not going to be in the team of the year. Don't make any sense.
Yeah, Jules, you have to...
You're telling me you're going to pick Heung-Min Son over... If somebody said to you, I want you to go pick an 11 now, and you would take Heung-Min Son and not have Salah in the team?
Yeah, definitely. I think Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville didn't put Mo Salah in their team as well of the season. Well, plenty of others.
We don't care about them.
Was that any influence on anything? Let me put it a different way.
No, I'm just saying that it's not me. It's not just me who don't think that Mo Salah should be.
You can't then call on your mates in England and bring them up.
No, in the sense that it's not just
me.
Steve makes out that I'm crazy not to put Mo Salah in the team. It's not just me.
No, I'm not.
I just don't think that Mo Salah has been good enough despite the goals. I don't think he's been good enough through the whole season to be in that team.
So when Harry Kane wasn't playing, where was Heung-Min Son? He wasn't really to be found. But when Liverpool are struggling badly, the guy who keeps scoring goals and keeps them in the fact that they're still in the title race is Mo Salah. So he's carrying the team. Heung-Min Son wasn't carrying the team.
I think Heung-Min Son has carried the team.
Argument.
That Spurs team, him and Kane have carried that team on their own together.
Yeah, we're two. They're in eighth position, by the way. Seventh.
They're three points behind Liverpool, aren't they? So it's not like Liverpool are having a much better season than Spurs.
Yeah, and who's... we're not talking about teams. If he's carrying them that well, the fact that Mo Salah has carried Liverpool to the possibility of being in the top four surely is more important than Heung-Min Son carrying Tottenham to fighting for a Europa League spot. That's just my argument.
What do you think, Shaq?
Yeah. Hmm?
What do you think?
I'd have Salah in.
You'd have Salah in?
Yeah. You expected more than that?
No, that's fine. Okay. That's all right. Just to spite Jules.
And it's PSG ways.
That's his PSG ways. How did that get him?
Just to spite PSG, I'd have Salah in.
Oh, dear. Jules, should Gerard Piqué retire after today?
He can go. He can move into upstairs. He can go and be like wherever he wants to be at that club. This is his club. You know, he's been so important to that club. But on the pitch, he struggled this season so badly. I mean, the PSG first leg. I know he was coming back from an injury. He probably should not have played that game. But that was humiliating, really, for him against Kylian Mbappe. And again, we saw today, but also the last few weeks that. He's far from his best level, and I think at his age, it would be very difficult to go back to his best. Maybe he can and prove us wrong, but I think right now it's very, very difficult for Gerard Piqué to be in a team that wants at some point to win La Liga and win big titles, because I just don't think he's helping right now.
Final question about your beloved Rangers, Stevie. Is Rangers going from the fourth division to Champions of Scotland in less than 10 years the greatest achievement in Scottish football?
God. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Here we go. Rangers fans, get ready.
Unfortunately, I can't even do it. I can't even say it. I'm going to say no. I'll leave it at that. I won't tell you why. Can he do it?
What's going on?
This is the pain in Stevie's face.
I know.
It's something to do with Celtic,
this
clearly.
It's like when he discovers porn in his head.
Oh, goodness.
It's Celtic being invincible as well, but winning the treble, which Rangers didn't do.
What European trophy did they win, Stevie? Celtic?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. The old champ of the old European Cup, the Champions League.
That, I mean, that's... You've got that out of Steve.
That was painful.
You hurt making Stevie.
Oh, all that drama, all that faff.
He's in pain. He's in pain. Look at him.
It's important listening to you.
He's in pain.
He's not really in pain, is he?
He is.
He's going to have a beer and shepherd's pie now.
I am.
You'll find eggs, you'll find corn. You'll find corn in a shepherd's pie. His beer will be flat.
Eleanor will put it in. That's it. Anything else? Is that it? I think we're done. We will be back tomorrow for more of this.
I will. I'm off tomorrow, Dan.
Well, I'll be here. Don't worry, Shaq.
Good luck.
Can't believe you upset Jules. What did you say that for?
You upset Steve.
What?
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.